Off the Ball Rugby.
I suppose we're always trying to learn how you make the game better. A red card is a serious act of foul play. If it's a serious act of foul play, there's no place in the game for 20 minutes.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Well, wow, what a game we've just watched at the London Stadium. West Ham United coming out 2-1 winners against Manchester United. And it looked right through the first half that Manchester United chain would get all 3 points away from home against a pretty poor-looking West Ham team in that first half. But wow, did it all change at half-time. And you have to give all the credit to a man who was under pressure coming into this game, Julen Lopetegui.
You surely would. I suppose the one man you would give credit for in the first half is Fabianski, coming into the team after being left out for pretty much
football
the whole season.
Football on
today.
Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And his goalkeeping was the only reason that it was nil off. I mean, it could very, very easily have been 3 or 4 nil to Manchester United in the first half. They were good. They looked a lot more impressive than we had seen them for most of this season. West Ham were very poor. It seemed to be, you know, one ball, time and time again, one ball was opening up the whole West Ham defence. But as you say, the big difference at half-time was Lopetegui saw the issues. It's very rare that you see half-time changes. It's even more rare that you see triple half-time changes. Three players hauled off, including players like Pacatau. You know, you're looking and going, this is a big-name player, and yet he had the guts to take him out at half-time. Brings in players who, every one of them, made a big, big impact in the second half, changed the shape a little bit, and the second half was completely unrecognisable from the first half, Stephen. It really, really was, and not for the first time, Erik ten Hag seemed like a deer caught in the headlights. He didn't know how to respond. He didn't know how to try and get his side back into the game. They looked like they'd got out of jail when they create a goal from a bit of I won't say a hidden hope, but it certainly wasn't a phase of play. Gets them back level, and then, you know, a questionable decision. Maybe okay, that's fair enough, but hard to argue based on the second half that West Ham didn't deserve to come away with the 3 points.
What was, and we come back to Manchester United, but what was better about West Ham, do you think, in the second half? Because we mentioned as well about there didn't seem enough pressure on the ball from their perspective. Their midfielders were kind of giving United players an easy way through midfield. The likes of Casemiro looked really good in the first half. Bruno Fernandes was playing really well. Garnacho had the run off that left-hand side. So what specifically do you think was changed for West Ham in that second half?
Yeah, well, as I say, it went from I suppose two sitters and a 10, which can be a little bit static at times, to a 6 and two box-to-box 8s in terms of, now that only required one personnel change, but that definitely worked. Like, Soucek is such a big boy and certainly puts himself about. That was a big, big help to them. Somerville was excellent, absolutely excellent. He was a constant menace, both in and out of possession. I thought he caught the eye so much. And yeah, like, the second half just became frantic, which is what West Ham wanted, because when things were a little bit more methodical, it was Manchester United that were having all of the success. Whereas, as I say, that second half was just all over the place. It was swinging end to end. Not what Manchester United needed. Absolutely not what they needed. Mavropanos, as we spoke of in the first half, has been isolated 1v1 far, far too often against Garnacho, who was having a field day, really. They fixed that. I think Wan-Bissaka stayed at home a good bit more. Still managed to be an attacking threat on occasions in the second half, but certainly gave his new centre-half, such was the extent Mavropanos has been isolated, that he was actually taken out, obviously, at half-time. So that became a non-entity. The whole impact Garnacho was having became a non-entity. They solved that with a change. They solved the Bruno Fernandes thing by making both a personnel change and a shape change. So, like you say, you have to praise Lopetegui. He spotted the issues. He went about coming up with solutions, fix the problems, and give his team a real foothold in the second half.
Jarrod Bowen, we mentioned in commentary, wasn't having his best day, Did he make amends for that, do you think, with his involvement in both goals?
Yeah, I think he did a lot better in the second half. Still not his one of his better days overall, just a bit too predictable, and Manchester United had it well sussed what he would try to do. But the one occasion where he didn't run into that same dark alleyway that he had every other time, lifted his head that little bit sooner. As we say, Danny Ings, not long in the field, bit of a miscue. Somerville does brilliantly to come in at the back post with a slide to just about turn it home, and then his penalty was exquisite. Onana, you said, had only faced one this year and had saved it. He did everything he possibly could to make it two saves from two there. He really, really got across brilliantly, but the penalty was right in the corner, really well executed by Bowen.
Yeah, I've got to say, I'm looking forward to seeing more of Crescencio Somerville as the season goes on. I'm sure player Leeds United fans who are watching would know all about. Look, I suppose you would look at this victory and think this is a big turning point for Julen Lopetegui. He's only managed wins over Crystal Palace, who have been poor this season, only getting their first win of the season today. Ipswich Town, newly promoted side. Are Manchester United really a big victory these days? Like, they are down the bottom half of the table. In fact, not far off relegation. So is it a big result for West Ham, or is it just another result that Lopetegui can just mark off on the sheet?
Ah, listen, they're certainly not the scalp that they once were, but I think the manner of the victory will be really, really impressive. Like, you know, if I put myself in his shoes, I'm getting into my car to drive home this after that game with a big smile on my face. There is a game that was absolutely going against my side, and then because of the tactical changes that I've made at halftime, I've managed to swing it completely around, got my rewards with a little bit of luck in terms probably of the referee's call, but I'm coming away with 3 points when that looked an absolute impossibility in the first half based on everything we were seeing. He has to be really, really happy with... He's done exactly the role of a manager. He's assessed the problems. He's gone and fixed them. His team have come out and put in a completely different second half performance. I mean, these are the exact things that Manchester United fans are screaming out for their manager to do, and we failed to see him do that. I can't think of very many occasions at all where Manchester United have had problems in the first half, fixed them all at half-time via a couple of changes and then made it. So, you know, he's outsmarted his opposition manager.
Ten Hag's done some mad stuff this season. You know, he put Johnny Evans and Harry Maguire in to start against Aston Villa. Granted, that one paid off. But a lot of people, were eyebrows were raised, thinking, well, the two players that you spent so much money on to bring into the club, left on the bench for a big, big game against a big, big rival. Then Fenerbahce on Thursday, he puts Mazraoui in as a number 10, but he'd been playing so well as a full back. They just seem like the kind of decision being made by a manager who's almost kind of thinking, well, I'm going to be gone here soon, so sure, let's try anything.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. It's just doesn't seem to be any plan, really, Stephen. He looks to me like a guy who's just run out of ideas and doesn't know himself. I think, look, you know, I've been there myself when things aren't going well for you at a club. Eventually, when the chop comes, it's almost a relief. And he actually has the body language of a fella who's nearly saying, will you just put me out of my misery here at this stage? So devoid of ideas. I mean, when the game was going against him in the second half, what did he do? He made a like-for-like change. You know, Diallo for Rashford was a no-brainer. Rashford had been extremely, extremely poor. Then it's a kind of throwing the kitchen sink at it. When you're bringing on Zirky, it's, you know... Okay, it had a little bit of a positive impact. Let's give him a little bit of credit. Zirky is involved, I suppose, in the goal, so he is. So you will give him a little bit of credit for that, but it just added to the franticness of it. It just made it all so kind of, you know, ye lump it, then we'll lump it. Whereas, you know, is there a way that he could have wrestled back the control that they have in the first half? He didn't seem to have the answer as to how to go about doing that.
Shane, the players are going to have to take responsibility, because we've seen a few managers come and go at Old Trafford since Alex Ferguson left. David Moyes, Louis van Gaal, Jose Mourinho, you know, the list is endless. And every time a manager goes in, they might have a good couple of months, but then the players almost look like they're down in tools. Well, we've seen Marcus Rashford again today, totally lacking in motivation. Bruno Fernandes, not good enough from the captain at the end there, blasting a shot wide of goal, blowing across over the bar. There's just so many players you could pick out there. Casemiro, not good enough for a player that's won 5 Champions Leagues. There just seems to be a rot in that dressing room, and I don't know what manager can fix that.
Yeah, it's a concern, Stephen. It's definitely a concern. There's a lot of what you'd call fair weather players. You know, when Bruno Fernandes was being given time and space in the first half, he looked sensational. That's the reality. You know, once Big Suchek gets on the field and he's kind of hunting around him, and all of a sudden there's not as much time and it's become a little bit more physical, and he absolutely went missing. And those last two balls, you know, if you're a United fan and you're sitting in the stand, you know, if you want somebody on the ball heading into the last couple of minutes, Bruno Fernandes is the man that you want on the ball. There is no doubt he is the one who possesses more quality than anybody else. But you talk about fluffing your lines. Do you know, I was getting ready to, you know, see him pull out something spectacular, and all of a sudden we're eulogising about him and saying, come at the hour, come at the man, and that he's pulled him out of the fire. It was the exact opposite. Those last two possessions he got, the shot, as I say, I was sure it had taken a deflection. It went so far wide. No. And then the final attempt of a delivery off his left foot just goes absolutely sky high and up into the stands. And, you know, I'd say West Ham fans were just smiling from ear to ear when the final whistle goes and Bruno throws his arms in the air. I suppose a sight we're all well used to seeing.
Will Ten Hag see you at the week?
I can't see it. I can't see. Again, the only thing that saves him is the lack of alternatives. Do you know who's top of the list to come in, Stephen? Keep hearing Gareth Southgate's name getting bounced around. I'm not sure there'd be all that many Manchester United fans who'd be overly happy to see that one happen.
Well, we end up in a situation a bit like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, a former great striker who's sitting in the wing, waving in the wings there. Ruud van Nistelrooy comes in, take the job as a caretaker manager, and then ends up getting the job on a permanent basis.
And you know, Stephen, I think that's an issue too, in that any time the camera panned over to the dugout, I don't think that was a Ten Hag appointment. I'm really not sure it was a Ten Hag appointment. I think that one might have been foisted upon him. They don't look like two guys that click to me. They seem the lack of interaction between them, the lack of even just eye contact between the two of them. I wouldn't be at all surprised. I think you could be hitting the nail on the head. I think there isn't an obvious option out there for them at the moment. Obviously, they've allowed Tuchel to go elsewhere. I think we could well see an interim period on the horizon for Ruud van Nistelrooy.
To finish, Evan Ferguson back in the score sheet for Brighton. There was a lot of people getting worried over nothing, I think, really, because he had an ankle operation at the end of last season. He missed the end of last season. And Hertzler obviously really likes him as a player, but was just easing him back in. And once he gets that first goal, do you think that's going to kick him off the rest of the season?
Listen, first thing I'll say, it's a fantastic goal. Really, really brilliant goal. When he receives the ball, there's still a huge amount to do. And he does it brilliantly. First touch, second touch, and then slamming it into the bottom corner. It's brilliant. And listen, that's his game. That's what we know he's all about. He's a goal scorer. He's a taker of chances. Look, the challenge, Stephen, is there's a lot of quality in that Brighton side. We seem to think as Irish supporters that because he is, you know, undoubtedly the most talented player probably to pull on a green jersey in quite a period of time, that he should be an automatic starter. Flip it the other way, Stephen. If Danny Welbeck was the Irish player and Danny Welbeck was dropped for Evan Ferguson to come into the side, we'd be causing absolute uproar, because Danny Welbeck has been outstanding this season for Brighton. Absolutely outstanding. They've also got players like João Pedro. They've got so much quality. Evan is going to have to be patient. I like the manager a lot. I would trust the manager to do the right thing by the players that he's got at his disposal. Is Evan going to start games week in, week out between now and Christmas? No. And any expectation that that's going to happen is false. He's going to continue, I would think, to see games off the bench. The odds start here and there, but he's got to keep doing what he did yesterday. You know, the manager is not just going to stick him into the team ahead of players who are in really, really good form. Brighton are flying high, doing very, very well. But that was a massive confidence boost for him yesterday, a massive confidence boost for him. But it didn't show us anything that we don't know. We know how much quality is there. The injury, you know, was bound to set him back a little bit. But back fully fit, back as an option for Brighton, you would think that, you know, be patient from now till Christmas. Keep grabbing those opportunities even when they come up. And then maybe you can kind of establish yourself as a regular starter for the new year.
Thank you, Shane. Thank you for watching.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Off the Ball rugby.
I suppose we're always trying to learn how you make the game better. A red card is a serious act of foul play. If it's a serious act of foul play, there's no place in the game for 20 minutes.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.